This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Yo, yo, yo.
No, no, no. I burned my mic's down again. Is it? Hello?
Back for more. Yeah. Back for more. The breakup of the Three Horsemen.
Is that what this is now?
Coming to you live.
Is this the breakup of the Three Horsemen?
We're back.
Get out of the business.
I knew it was coming.
get out of that contract. Lock the door.
We do lock the door from time to time when we're trying to steal stuff.
I heard. What's going on, gentlemen? We're getting a late start. We were going to get ready here about a while ago, but...
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
We got time.
Shit,
time is on our side. We're young fellas.
Afro man in the house.
Is he here? Did he finally get here?
Yeah, he just got here.
Did he?
What am I doing in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
E, what's one of your goals to do?
I got a lot of goals today.
Just got here?
If I fucking miss that due to this, I'm quitting the show. I'll tell you what. If that happens, I'm out of here.
Oh, I hear that.
So it's like the last thing I need to do before I die.
Oh, my God.
Bucket list.
Yep. The Three Horsemen here today doing God knows what with God knows who.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. We are continuing with Vince McMahon invading the territories. I tell you what, that I'm in the greatest headspace I could be in right now. It's incredible.
How so?
I don't really know. Kind of making that up.
Oh.
For what purpose?
What's going on around here, gentlemen?
Not much, really.
I only talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a wrestling show.
We did, you know, we did our Raw recap yesterday.
I thought we were going to do sports, movies.
Video games.
And, I don't know.
Culture. No, but nothing really happened
and
on SmackDown
today,
to talk about.
We are going to get into...
Yeah, SmackDown Live, nothing really
happened.
The
invasion of the territories and that type of thing.
Where do we leave off?
Where did we go from the last time we were here?
We were getting into St. Louis.
We were getting into St. Louis.
Your sweet spot if you had to pick one, right?
At the Chase. Chase Park Plaza.
Would you say that's your expertise if you had to pick one of the territories?
If I had to pick one, I'd say, yeah, sure.
Yep.
Over the Crockett stuff?
Over the Crockett stuff. Jim Crockett, yes.
But just a little background. You've had dinner with, was it Sam Mushnick? Did you get to meet?
Yes.
Larry Matisak.
Died in 1983.
Yep.
I had dinner with him at the table.
I don't know
when he died. I apologize.
What was the writer's name who worked for TV Guide that used to shit on wrestling? Wasn't it Mushnick as well?
I think that was Irv Mushnick. I think he wrote for the New York Times.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
I want to say.
That always confused me.
Two Mushnicks?
Yeah.
Me too. When I was a kid, I couldn't separate people who had different last names. It was just, oh, it must be the same person. I was an idiot.
So didn't you have a dinner or something, an event with someone from the St. Louis territory?
It is Irv Mushnick. Yeah. Couple times, in fact.
Okay.
So we are going to get into how an E looked all this stuff up with me.
Who'd you have dinner with? Who was that guy?
God,
for fuck's sakes.
I can't even remember. We are going to figure out what happened here. So they get into the section where... what are we laughing at? Did I miss something?
I don't have a clue what we're laughing
no,
at.
No, okay. just
T.O. laughing.
Just laughing.
Oh. Trying to find my notes here. Not as easy as it looks. Damn it.
You need notes to talk about this stuff?
I do. You had a timeline for me.
I remember
okay,
that.
So we get to 83. And, well, let's go back.
1983.
Sam Mushnick got out. He got out in 82. Done promoting St. Louis wrestling.
I was going to say, didn't he own the wrestling St. Louis Wrestling Club? Is what he owned?
President, yes.
President.
And head promoter, best payoff guy in the business. Had to get called to go to St. Louis. No, you didn't call to go there. They called you. So, you can look up his retirement show on YouTube. It was a big deal. They had a ton of guys in. I believe it was Brody and Flair that night filmed for Japan, if that sounds right. Because I want to say they did the retirement show in 83. So, they have that, and Geigel and Race take over. Sam Mushnick retirement show. And it was at the Checker Dome. No, it's 1-1-82. Really? I could have swore that was 83. It's Flair versus Rhodes that night. So they take over. Harley Rice. Race and Geigel take over and run the St. Louis Wrestling Club. Matizek run things on the promotion side and then starts running a dual promotion. So Vince goes in to buy the time slot in late 83 from Ted Koppler. You know Ted Koppler.
Yeah,
KPLR 11. Mm-hmm. Yes, that Ted Koppler of Nightline fame.
Yeah, Ted Koppler.
And they knocked the St. Louis Wrestling Club off the air. Now, I've talked to Matizek.
So that's who you talked
the
to.
Way, okay. The way it went down is he went through the whole thing with Vince and said, basically, you're going to run everything on this side. They came in and they were doing wrestling at the Chase still. It's a weird look. You guys have seen the videos.
Yeah, it's like four rows deep.
Not that one.
After or before?
They had moved out. Like they went in that. I don't know where they were filming at is the only thing.
They were filming right by KPLR, right?
It had to have been.
Yeah, they said from my research, it was right across the street.
Must have been. But they get going. St. Louis Wrestling Club gets back on the air within 2 weeks of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that. I don't know what it is. But they're getting huge ratings. Now they're now bringing Hogan in.
Right.
He basically debuted there for WWF. I mean, he did in Allen. I think it was Allentown.
Is this the territory that Vince convinced them by saying that I will have this guy who was in Thunderlips on your channel?
Yes, but that was really, yeah.
I could swear, I'm trying to remember exactly whenever he pulled that. Because it was before he'd even signed him. He was telling him, not only will, you know, I'll have better stuff, but I'll have this guy that was in this movie on your channel.
Right. And they're getting huge ratings.
And the Rocky franchise had to have been huge by Rocky III.
I mean, the first Rocky, was it not Oscar winning?
Yeah.
I mean, so, pretty big.
And Stallone had done one of the Rambos, maybe two by then. So, I mean, that's as big as it gets right there.
He'd done Rhinestone.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge selling point.
He had directed Staying Alive by then, I believe.
What was the other one, Gattaca or something?
I don't think I saw Gattaca. I'm aware of it, but I don't really think
about
it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Or is it Attica? Gattaca was way after. Wasn't that with Halle Berry?
Was it?
I don't know.
Serpico?
That was Pacino. They look very similar, though. I get where you're getting the whole Sylvester Stallone vibe.
Damn it. If I look up Sylvester Stallone cop movies, it's going to be Copland. But
Nighthawks, is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe. He's got a beard.
Yeah.
Over the top.
Check out Nighthawks. Sylvester Stallone Nighthawks.
Nighthawks?
When I turn the head around, it's like a switch.
It's like a switch.
Oh, 81. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
Anyway, so they move. Well, I guess they're still filming it. Well, maybe not. It says they moved from Chase Park Plaza.
We are a bastion of information.
So they went over to the Kiel, started filming at the Kiel.
Nice auditorium, big place.
Well,
what's the Kiel hold back then, 20, 25?
15.
15?
Maybe.
Is that because it's bigger? They're looking to expand, get more asses in the building?
Yes, the Kiel auditorium was bigger than the Chase Park Plaza. Definitely.
I understand. Is that why the move was made?
Yes.
You got to assume you get better TV there. You get better.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
all better production all around.
You get more people, yeah, for sure.
And they used to get let you in free, too, before Vince took over. Didn't they do that to the Wrestling at the Chase? And then after he took over, they put on a $5 fee, I believe.
Yes.
And that was kind of a big deal.
But the other thing was, is they were filming. This didn't last too long. The way I understood it was they had moved to Kiel. I mean, they just started moving events over to Kiel, but they did film there. Like, I know Hogan and Stud, the cage match, is filmed, because I've seen that a number of times. But that's up for debate as far as moving filming of a regular weekly show, unless maybe that's why it looks different. So who knows? But that's basically what happened. And more talks with Matizek, and he did a few podcasts on this, but it's been 10 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, something like that.
Here's a fun little fact, too, about these first shows at the Wrestling of the Chase that WWF did.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the first appearance of Gene Okerlund working for WWF was on these shows.
True.
Mean Gene, formerly of AWA, mm-hmm. I believe. One of the great scalps.
He was part of, I guess Hogan basically talked him into coming over there.
It worked out well. He became the voice of wrestling, as far as I'm concerned, in the 80s.
Pretty much. But they, in talking with Matizek, this deal lasted not long before they basically said, you know, we don't need you. Which is awful nice of them. But at the same time, they are running. They hadn't run the Checker Dome that much, but they brought in essentially Brody, and now I forget his name. They call him Mellow Yellow. Colonel Buck Robley. They had started to run shows. They would grab Blanchard. They would grab the Road Warriors. They'd grab the Von Erichs, and they'd run big shows at the Checker Dome, 84. 80 into as deep as I think 85, I want to say.
Sure.
But it was still getting the call from St. Louis to come down and work. And they were still paying pretty well and drawing, they're not drawing 8 or 20,000, but they're drawing respectable.
It used to get 100,000 viewers an episode. It was the third highest rated television program in St. Louis behind the news and behind St. Louis Cardinals baseball.
Now we know why everybody still talks about it.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, but they were still getting people in, and they started running opposition to Vince within town. So it was a war. The war was, I mean, definitely here in St. Louis.
It's very similar to what happened, though, down in Georgia whenever they took over, and they actually put other wrestling programs on TBS that were higher rated than the WWF program they put on.
They had wars in Memphis before this. They had wars in Georgia before this.
Well, they thought they were going to go into a lot of these territories and just walk in and walk out and have what they needed. But, you know, there's resistance.
How many shows on, like when this was going on, how many shows would they run a month in St. Louis?
Who?
Wrestling of the Chase.
Combined.
Oh, both
yeah.
Orgs? Probably be, you know.
One from WWF, and then I'd say they'd run bi-monthly. Through Brody, Geigel, Race, that combo.
So you're still getting good quality on every show.
Yep.
Well, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever, if they're saying St. Louis Wrestling Club, I know they're running opposition with house shows, but I would think their TV would have been coming out of mostly Kansas City stuff, at least to promote. I mean, obviously the St. Louis Wrestling Club, wherever they were at on TV, you know, I guess they would have run on KDNL, which makes sense. KDNL was channel 30 here
back in
St.
Days,
Louis.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're running that war. And like I said, they had a war in Memphis between Gulas and Jarrett Lawler. They had a war in Georgia between Ann Gunkel and everybody, Jim Barnett,
basically,
whoever
yeah.
was running the. But that the whole Ann Gunkel thing, that's a different show. I think she even moved out to Hawaii and ran. So the WWF is now the big deal. So, and you guys will know most of this. Changeover starts with getting rid of Backlund as champion. Sheik beats Backlund 12-26-83. So nobody would have thought the Iron Sheik was going to beat Bob Backlund.
It's because Backlund would not drop that belt to Hogan.
No.
Never. In fact, he thought he was going to get it back from Sheik.
He didn't even get the rematch with Sheik.
Yep.
And that's where that fallout started. But To give you background, if you've like seen that weird lighting in Madison Square Garden for the Sheik and Backlund show, it's the 26th of December, I want to say.
Is it on the network?
Yeah.
Is it
84?
Actually, might not be on the network.
83.
Hold on. 12-26-83. So 12-26-83, Backlund beats Sheik. And Hogan debuts on TV later that week.
Backlund beats Sheik or Sheik beats Backlund?
Sheik beats Backlund for the title. So this is supposed to lead in every other time it had led. Like, San Martino got his rematch with Graham. And going back to Graham got his rematch with Backlund. So you always had your rematch. That was the next show at MSG. So instead, I don't know if you guys have seen the TVs leading up. Like, Backlund got hurt by Sheik. That's why he lost in the match. But then Backlund introduces Hogan to the crowd to take on the Samoans. People were like, what the fuck is he doing here? And almost got booed coming out until they realized, oh shit, he's here to help him. So they just go ape shit for Hogan now. Doesn't sit well with Backlund, and they want Backlund to turn heel.
And he's never been heel at this point, right?
I mean,
he's all American.
Yeah,
he's the type of guy. He didn't come out and he didn't do a lot of interviews. And when he did, they were real low key. He's not a loud guy at all.
White meat baby face.
Yeah, he's like the all American boy.
Ugh, howdy doody.
After I get done wrestling, I'm gonna go get my com thingy, whatever you call it, and go mow some corn down. I don't know how farming works. What do they call that?
Combine.
NFL.
They call it mowing corn. I guess you combine corn?
Chucking corn? I don't know. Husking?
I'm not a farmer. I like food, but...
That's true.
Never cooked it.
So back then, they would never have two babies go either. So the idea of Hogan and Backlund...
Oh, it would have been a nightmare. I mean, they had already wrestled. I mean, they had wrestled countless times back in, I want to say, 81. Something like that. Backlund was a strong motherfucker. Woo! Just a horse. And good collegiate or amateur... whatever you want to call it, wrestler. But and you'll see Backlund show up on Pro Wrestling USA, which is coming up after we get done talking and all that to where they combined. But should Backlund have turned heel?
It would have been better for his career. I mean, he basically disappeared for what, 10 years after that?
Well, remember right when they reintroduced him in the early 90s as a heel and kind of got heat. I mean, like, I remember watching that as a kid, not knowing who the fuck he was.
Do you remember how that worked out?
Yeah, well, it worked at first. He was a baby face, right? And then
he went crazy. He snapped into the chicken wing.
Yeah, he wouldn't let it go. It was a whole thing.
Bret Hart, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Bret Hart. He wouldn't let it go. From then on out, he was snapped. You know, he was snapped Bob Backlund. It was not a great angle.
That basically changed how he did promos, too. He actually started doing...
Oh, yeah, he got really animated.
Awful shit.
Yep.
They just did a table for three on the network, and he's like, that's what changed my promo and got me over. I mean, he actually started working heel. Because, man, he did the weirdest shit on Pro Wrestling USA. He came out and talked, and I'll put it up on Twitter.
You'd think he would have been easy for him. I mean, it's way easier to get people to hate you than it is to like you.
I don't know, man. All he ever had to do was come out and say... wrestling for the people.
Yeah, thank you. My fans are most important.
You know what I mean? But if he goes heel, he's got an immediate program with Hogan.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money he passed up on.
Was he so dumb?
Was he promised the belt back? I mean, so there was no promise that he was getting it back from Sheik once he dropped it?
No, Vince knew that whenever Sheik got it, it was a transitional champion is what Sheik was. That was his plan the whole time.
No, I know that, but Vince isn't the most honest of people. I didn't know if there was
whatever.
I don't know if that – I was asking if that took place.
That's almost like another screw job type of thing then is what you're working out there. I mean, I'm telling you one thing, doing another. If you're expecting it. I mean, not to say it goes down in the ring when it finally culminates, but...
The only real screw job out of it is he doesn't get another payday as the headliner for the rematch.
Right. You don't get that Madison Square Garden money as the champ or whatever.
No.
What kind of payday would that be back then? Do you know? You headline there, what the expected...
I'd guess you'd get 10 grand. No, that's way too much. Especially 1983. I'd guess you'd walk away with between 5 and 7.
It's pretty good money.
For a night's work, yeah.
I mean, if you're one of the headliners, anyway.
I'd take that. But instead on that card, it's January 23rd of 84.
$5,000 takes you about 4 days to make now. No, I wish.
That card, I'm pretty sure Backlund's on it. And I think he wrestles, I want to say he doesn't wrestle anybody worth a damn. But
Barry Horowitz.
And the other thing is that they were losing. They just weren't doing great business at the end of his run. I mean, Larry Zbyszko's commented on it. It's not like it was. I mean, it was pretty common knowledge. They weren't doing great. I guess he wasn't even on the show. Never mind. If somebody knows if he did wrestle on that, feel free to.
I'd have to look it up.
So share it. The champions leading up to Backlund, Bruno, who else?
Billy Graham. Pedro Morales, Stan Stasiak.
So say, didn't they? They were mostly ethnic champions to get better crowds at the MSG, right?
Yes, Italians, Puerto Ricans. Spanishes.
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
So was Backlund the first, I mean, like, through that transition, the first pure Caucasian that had it for an extended period of time?
Right, and why did he have it? Because nobody's going to take it off him.
Because he can handle himself.
If he goes over to Japan and they want to take it off him, good luck. If Inoki or
So what made him feel okay with Hogan? Because, I mean, I think we all know that Hogan wasn't tough. Like, what made him feel okay with Hogan?
Money.
He was in Rocky III.
I don't know if you heard of it. It was this big thing a few years earlier.
It's not going to stop him from getting his ass kicked.
Well, that's why they sent Andre over when he went to Japan.
Okay.
And that's how they apparently became buddies. But going back to, I don't see why Backlund passes up on the money. I mean, I do in his mind. You're passing up on a shit ton of money and a good run. Especially he could still go.
The fact that he couldn't tell that Hogan was the next big thing and to try to, like, get in on that, it just shows either he's just bullheaded at that point. You know
what I mean?
You
could have put the Intercontinental belt on him. Instead, they put it on Valentine, Santana, those guys.
Well, true. But
Morocco.
Yeah, that started a whole era of that, for that title, in my opinion, though.
And was there a lot of resentment that Hogan got the spot in Rocky III? I mean, do you think a lot of people were thinking this guy—
He was nobody at that time.
He's representing wrestling, this guy is, and he's not a great wrestler. He's not a great worker. I mean, do you think that happened at all?
The biggest thing I think about that was people were worried that he was going to expose the business for being fake, break kayfabe. They didn't want him to go on there or on that movie and say anything at all that shows wrestling in a light that it's not the legit show that they show.
What makes you think it's fake in Rocky III?
Well, at the end of it, they take pictures together. He comes out of his rage and, you know, he seems like a normal guy at the end of it. He works the whole first part of the match, and then after it, he calms down, so to speak, and takes his pictures, you know. It's just all part of the show. And that's exactly what they didn't want to see, is after the match, showing a guy calm down and taking pictures with his opponent.
Yeah.
I've read that.
It's for charity. I mean, they did like that.
I was going to say.
That thing is what he said at the end, or that was the premise of the match.
Even still, that was the big worry. I'd read that in several articles. That was the main thing why they didn't want him to go do that.
If anything, I think it made wrestling look good.
Well,
because he was taking huge shots from Rocky, cut the gloves off, and all that. I mean, I see what Corey's saying.
And they made Hogan look like he's about a foot and a half taller than he was in that. But
I don't know about that.
Really, he looked way bigger than normal.
You know how big Rocky or Sylvester Stallone is?
He's not huge, but they build Hogan like, what, 6'11", I think, in that movie, Thunderlips?
Yeah, what's Stallone, 5'8"?
I don't know.
5'7", maybe?
Not a huge guy. Let's find out. This is worth knowing. So first and foremost, let's find out Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, Hogan was a big dude.
5'10".
Is he really?
Yeah.
So Hogan's got 6 inches on him?
Yeah,
Hogan's what in real life? 6'4"?
6'3", that was they always build him at.
Yeah. No, he was billed as 6'8".
Oh, yeah, that's right.
6'8", 303.
303. Thunderlips. Let's see what Thunderlips is billed as.
6'10".
Hogan was 6'7", but...
Did he wrestle with lifts? Did they put him on his shoes at first, do you think, or not? In his boots?
No, I don't know.
Hogan?
Never heard that.
I was just asking, like, in the early days.
what they bill him as in Thunder, or what they bill Thunderlips as.
That's what I'm looking for. I know he was almost 400 pounds, like 396, oh, I think, sure. is what they said. So
I'm sure. But let's we'll Here while we're go. Look, you got him.
Thunderlips, real close. I'm in the page that has. I just got to find it. Okay. Fuck, that doesn't give us anything. Never mind. I'm a piece of shit. Move on.
That's all right. Okay, so Hulkamania born 123-84. They're off and running. So now it's big time, but Hogan goes...
7 foot. They called him 7 foot.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hogan goes to Japan at this time. That's where the whole thing comes in if they try to take the belt off of him. And you guys know the Iron Sheik story that Vern Gagne apparently said, I'll give you... I don't know how much money.
It was $100,000. That's what it was. $100,000 to break his leg and bring the title back. Yeah. And after the match, he does the match as he should and goes to Vince afterwards and tells him the whole story. I wonder if Vince gave him any kind of reward.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder if that.
Yeah,
that
yeah I am loyal to you, Vince McMahon. I don't do the impersonation like you do. But.
Well, I just wonder if that story has any
any credence?
Validity.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good story.
I mean, of all things, well, how would Vern know? Well, I take that back. I guess it's easy to figure out, but I don't know. Okay, so influx of talent. So Hogan brought Schultz, plus they get Okerlund. Now they've got Ventura jumps 2 months, 3 months later over. He had already had a run in WWF. Adrian Adonis snagged him from Japan along with Murdoch. So they're the new tag champs when they come in. They beat Atlas and Rocky Johnson. Paul Orndorff is now there. He had been there.
Mr. Wonderful.
I think he got there late 83. Sergeant Slaughter, who is the other guy they bring in. So when they run Double Towns, he's the other headliner. He and Sheik. Brilliant. Tito Santana comes in. Greg Valentine and Roddy Piper come off the dog collar match at Starrcade. So they're in now. Piper comes in as a manager only for Schultz and Orndorff.
Yeah, he was injured, right?
Right.
What was his injury then?
He had had the ear.
His ear, yeah.
Watch that match. Bob Orton comes down from Mid-Atlantic, same place that Valentine and Piper come up from Mid-Atlantic. Nikolai Volkoff is now in there. Jack and Jerry Briscoe after they sell Georgia, which we covered last episode. Big John Studd had remained there, and now... they contract Andre the Giant to work exclusively. So that's what you're working with on top of the other guys they basically have.
Undeniably the best roster in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, I mean, my God, that's who's on your TV every week. Not to mention Iron Sheik still there. I mean, I didn't include him, but you've got him. Like B. Brian Blair came in from Florida, turned into a jobber. Until he came back with the Killer Bees with Brunzell, because Brunzell's still with WWF at the time. So they're loaded. So now you go in, and we tied it in last time, but you've got Black Saturday. So he goes through the Ted Turner, that whole thing. They buy McMahon out for $1 million. So it pays for WrestleMania.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys have ever watched any Mid-South stuff, but Bill Watts is not real thrilled about all this. He called it a cartoon all the time. Mm-hmm. Race called Hogan the paper champion. It all ties back into the same thing. But
paper champion. Talk about working hard there.
Yeah, cartoon champion.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Pot meet the kettle.
And think about it. So they start a cartoon. They start the Rock and Wrestling Connection at this time. Because Albano meets Cyndi Lauper on the plane. You read all that.
Yeah.
And now David Wolf was her boyfriend at the time. So they get him to do they're exploding, literally. MTV's somewhat still new. It's 3 or 4 years old.
It was their first non-video type of shit they were fucking around with.
Yeah. So they show War to Settle the Score live on MTV. Like, can you imagine MTV showing wrestling again? I don't know that I've watched MTV in 10 years.
What was the last wrestling thing they had on there? They did have wrestling for a while.
They had Tough Enough
on there. They had Tough Enough on there.
Yeah.
Did they have Bellator for a while on MTV? Or was that VH1? I think one of those two had like a MMA for a while.
Viacom had the deals with it, so Viacom ran some stuff
on
there.
And they own MTV, so.
Yeah, concurrent, yeah.
Who knows?
So they start the Rock and Wrestling Connection. They're blowing up. Everything's leading into WrestleMania. So at this time, Gagne, well, yeah. I mean, it's Gagne, Crockett. You know, we didn't even talk about Mid-Atlantic. As much stuff as they stole. So they're running pretty well. And they bring Dory Funk into book in 84. And it goes, I mean, it falls flat on its ass. And there's a chronological video set up on YouTube where you can just watch. And it's basically, I think it's called The Changeover of 84 or The Transition of 1984 in Mid-Atlantic. And how bad it got when they took all these guys. Steamboat leaves. I mean, Steamboat was one of their...
Steamboat had, at that point was saying he was retiring, too. And it was less than a year he's back, but still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was enough where he was like, eh, I'm done.
Steamboat and Flair fought at... they had the Meadowlands show, but they also... They had a show that was... It's closed circuit. And I can't remember
what that was. The future, wasn't it? Closed circuit?
Yeah.
Let's all pack in a place and watch it.
Yeah, because Flair and Steamboat went in 84, and then Steamboat wrestled Blanchard, and that was for, I want to say, the TV title. Flair versus 84. That was the Meadowlands. Oh, Boogie Jam 84.
Boogie Jam 84.
That's off Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a big deal. But Boogie Woogie Man still had some way to go if you watched TBS at the time or whatever, Mid-Atlantic.
That was one guy I never liked.
He never bumped.
What did he do?
Nothing.
That's my point. He carried a stick with a skull on it.
Who?
Wasn't that Jimmy Valiant? Didn't he have that fucking weird stick, like a shillelagh with a skull on it for a while?
No.
Who am I thinking of?
Boogie Woogie.
Had the big fucking beard?
Yeah.
Where am I getting the stick at?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look into this.
The Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant?
Why am I putting a stick with him?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, so they really hurt Mid-Atlantic big time, too, until they bring Dusty in to start booking, and then he kind of starts pulling his crew in. Mid-Atlantic gets hot again. But off of that, Pro Wrestling USA. So what Pro Wrestling USA was a TV show, and the guy out of Chicago, of course I'm going to forget his name right now. They go to him, and I think he owned the White Sox. So it's Vern, it's Jarrett, it's Memphis, Minnesota. It's not Fritz. Fritz comes in a little bit later. Maybe Eddie Graham helping out. But they start putting on a TV show that combines all these guys into one show. And the mistakes they made with this. They're having locker rooms. They'd have joint shows at Mid-South Coliseum. They realize we can't keep sending everybody to one spot because it's costing way too much money. But you're getting Lawler, you're getting Tommy Rich, you're getting the Road Warriors, you're getting the Terry Funk, you're getting, eventually they changed. Mid-Atlantic's got a hand in this too because they ran shows in Mid-Atlantic houses. And then they just started filming their shows in their hometowns. So you'd get shows from AWA with mostly AWA talent. You get shows from Mid-Atlantic with mostly Mid-Atlantic talent. Shows from Memphis with mostly Memphis talent. Not that many. They ran the one show there. It's not Roland Redmond. God damn it. So when they would have those guys in their locker room, and this is what happened at Superclash 85, they're trying to sign each other's talent away. So you send those guys into one locker room, and they all start screwing each other immediately.
Like sexual?
Big shocker. No. Promoter-wise. It's Ed Einhorn. Ed Einhorn is the one that helps fund Pro Wrestling USA.
I was thinking the same thing. Couldn't help it.
Ed Einhorn?
Finkel is Einhorn.
Oh, Finkel is Einhorn. See. Pro Wrestling USA eventually leads to Super Clash, and it's all those guys, Watts getting in, everybody. So they're all basically fucking each other. And that's why nobody could compete with Vince, and that's why territories basically started falling by the wayside. But, so are we the better for it with WrestleMania and all that garbage? That's not garbage. I mean, they had good wrestlers.
In ways, many ways were better. But in many ways were not.
Reason.
Well, look at it. You can look at it even as simply as the WCW demise and WWFE. Are we better than now there's no WCW, no number two?
No.
Exactly my point. Now take that a little further out. All these development territories that were not controlled by...
But not really development.
Well, they're not... That's fair. I'm getting them in a little... But, I mean, that's kind of how they functioned. As soon as WWF got a little bit bigger, they weren't official, but they still... These guys developed their characters down in these smaller places and then move up to the big show.
Well, what's fucked up is these guys would go get hot. Then they'd go to WWF.
Yeah.
And you could be a sideshow, but you're still making money. And then they all start stealing from... I mean, the way they put it. I mean, they even negotiated a talent trade, Watts and Jarrett did, to where, hey, I'm going to come up and look at your guys, you come look at my guys, you pick, and they did that. That's how the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express and Jim Cornette ended up in Mid-South. That's how Rick Rude ended up in Memphis. I mean, those guys all got gigantic. But then they'd all go to the one of the big two because Crockett buys Georgia out, so now they're going to run from there, and NWA becomes, you know, NWA is basically run by him.
Right.
But that, I mean, JYD goes to WWF. Magnum TA leaves Mid-South and goes to work in, essentially, Mid-Atlantic. We'll just call it NWA from here out.
Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Speaking of NWA being owned by Crockett at that time, now we're finding out NWA is going to be owned by Corgan. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do anything.
No. There's nothing to do.
I mean, what do they have in assets now?
A name.
Just the name, right?
Yeah, but
and the typeface.
Worthless name.
It's not completely worthless. It's got a little name recognition, but
I don't know what
he's bought.
I don't
know if anybody takes it serious because it's been so long and devalued.
Not that I know of. As far as I know, it's a bunch of independent promotions that for some reason still pay into the NWA. I don't know if he's trying to like launder money or what he's trying to do.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
There's nothing to own. Rings? Does he want wrestling rings?
There's nothing like video-wise left. They had no rights or anything like that, right? No old shit that Vince doesn't own already.
Everything I've read, they don't have any film of anything.
Questionable buy of the year there. Anyway, back to it.
So I got a question. If this didn't happen, if Vince wouldn't have raided the territories, we know what came out of it. What direction do you think it would have went? Do you think the territories would have remained for years to come?
Yes.
Really?
In some ways. Somebody would have had a national more than one person would have had a national product instead of what it was guys.
With the landscape of cable, like just as TV changed, I'm curious how the business would have changed because you wouldn't have had the regional TV.
You're right. It's almost a natural evolution with the way that media was going.
Yeah, that was kind of my question.
Here's my thing with it. Fritz should have went national.
Should have. He didn't want to specifically, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Because of what happened.
Yep.
He fucked everybody. So you could have had, I mean, TBS was still a national whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? AWA started running on ESPN. Mid-South, the way I remember it, got on
now,
TBS.
Back
for
in those
short
days,
time.
Was ESPN still only cable? Or did they also have some cities that they broadcast in?
I think it was only cable.
Yeah.
Some of my research made me think otherwise. Like, this is weird. I don't know.
ESPN was ESPN. I mean, there was one channel.
Right.
That was it.
That's what I mean. I didn't know, though, too, if they – I thought in some of the bigger markets they actually broadcast.
Like, do you know what the old ESPN looked like?
No. Before my time.
Let's see. After 10 o'clock, they'd have SportsCenter. We're in the central time zone. Then it would be, like, water polo, some
– Riveting.
Some races. Like, it was...
Like NASCAR?
Yeah, they didn't have all these national contracts.
No
like now,
talk shows or anything like that. It was... They would play SportsCenter probably...
Up close with...
Every other hour.
From like 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning until what, 10 probably? 11?
I think it went till... I want to say TV was still going until midnight as far as I remember as a kid.
And then they throw out the test patterns.
Yeah.
And,
the way I remember it. I don't know. ESPN might have been 24 hours.
Yeah.
Like CNN. But
I always bother me. Like, you can't afford somebody to program overnight. Is that what it is? It's not an FCC rule.
I don't know. I don't know how it worked in the 80s, though.
God damn it. We're just too young for that old cool stuff.
I still remember the national anthem coming on NBC at midnight. You guys don't remember that?
Nope.
No.
I do for some reason. At least I remember, Sunday nights.
I remember Channel 11 used to turn off after the Stooges, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
I do remember that.
God, wrestling and the Three Stooges.
Wasn't that the greatest?
Yep. Well, those days are over. Can't even find the Stooges on TV anymore. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
It's a whole nother...
Another show.
Yeah.
Another show.
But going back, that's... If Fritz would have went national, like, they killed WCCW.
Mm-hmm.
Killed it. They had the Von Erichs. But then those guys started dying. And yeah, that's what really killed them. Gino Hernandez and, God, Mike Von Erich. I mean, everybody started turning away. That's a good territory to talk about, by the way. So do you guys know, like, what would happen with Gino Hernandez? They found cocaine in his stomach. That's how he died. He OD'd.
What did you try to smuggle it?
They said he owed some bad people. I guess he was in deep with, and this is a rumor, he was in with the homosexual crowd down in Dallas. I don't know.
Big into cocaine down in Dallas, some homos.
He was a gambler. He had some drug issues, but like David Von Erich, I mean, they acknowledged David Von Erich's death on WWF TV. That's how big it was. So.
Even not being in the company and everything.
Yeah.
That's, Jesus.
Because those guys would go up and work for Vince Sr.
Well, that was back in the day before they didn't recognize that there was anything else. You're like, somewhere along the Monday night
That's era. The thing. They did acknowledge there was stuff in other places.
Well, eventually they stopped kind of like these days.
Well, then, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They used to. They'd be like, no big deal.
We're yeah, just WWF in New York, they would show matches from...
Sure, they were just part of the giant wrestling thing that's going on. Now, these days, they are the wrestling thing that's going on. Somewhere
everybody
in the late 90s,
together.
They stopped thinking that there was anything else or acknowledging that there was any other product.
I would love for Jim Ross to expand on the NWA meeting where he was sitting in a stall and they said, what are we going to do about this McMahon guy? What are we going to do about Vince's kid? And he said, well, why don't we just kill him? Yeah. Mafia.
Nice. I mean, they should have. Would have worked out well.
That would have been something else.
Who knows what we'd have, though? God damn it.
You know, another shot in the arm. We started talking about John Stossel and the David Schultz incident. So have you guys looked that up to see and watch him get the shit slapped out of him?
No, I'm going to put that on my list of stuff to do later, though.
They did a big feature on, I want to say 2020, where Stossel went in the locker room. Well, Eddie Mansfield.
Was it Current Affair? Was that it, or was that a completely different piece that you're talking about? A
Current Affair.
One of the, like one of the...
In the 90s?
Yeah, it was like between like 4 and 5. They'd air like all the like Hollywood stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They did a thing on Kayfabe too, but I don't remember if that was it or not.
Yeah, this is the 2020 piece they did where Stossel interviews Eddie Mansfield. Eddie Mansfield shows him how to blade, shows him how to bump. This guy, Eddie Mansfield, blackballed. Eddie Mansfield? Am I saying that right? Why am I feeling like I'm wrong now?
No clue.
Yeah, Eddie Mansfield, 2020. So he does all that, and Stossel goes in the locker room of the WWF, and stories differ. So some say McMahon pointed him to... David Schultz, Eddie Mansfield tells a story. He said, if you go to their locker room, don't interview David Schultz. Please, I'm begging you. He will beat the shit out of you. So he sees him and slaps him. Everybody everybody's seen that. But that gave them a shot in the arm, and then they sent David Schultz over to Japan. This ended up in a huge lawsuit. And I want to say Stossel won $1 million off him. If I'm pretty sure I'm close to right on that.
2020, when wrestling goes wrong or wrestling exposed or something, was the title of the episode.
Right. Yeah. But Mansfield and Jim Wilson are on the show bitching about getting blackballed from the business. And Jim Wilson had the show where he and Schultz ended up on who was the guy that smoked? And, come on. He appeared at WrestleMania.
And he's,
with Roddy Piper.
It's fucking,
not Robert Downey Jr.
Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah.
But that kind of gave them a shot in the arm. It kind of looked bad, But at the same time, it made it look a little more real. Because they were slowing down video footage of wrestling and showing that guys weren't really hitting each other. I mean,
and that was only a matter of time with technology that happening, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, like just.
And it's funny that this happened again. Do you guys not remember that late 90s surge of guys wearing masks and showing you that it was fake? You don't remember? They had like specials on NBC and CBS.
That was a big deal in the 90s. Like, remember they had the guy, the masked magician, who was coming out to. They were exposing the secrets of everything in the 90s. It's time to pull away the curtain, is what it was then.
Right.
Let's make some money off of it, dickheads.
But they were, it's always, they're trying to, it was because wrestling was starting to outdraw baseball, football.
Everything. I mean, it was
getting gigantic. This is probably the healthiest time for wrestling.
Where do you think the whole wrestling is fake thing came from? I mean, everybody knew it was fake, but it wasn't a big deal in your face until a bunch of people wanted to make it a big deal in your face that it's fake.
Eddie Mansfield says he got blackballed, and that's why he did it. That's the show that changed, like, everything. Because 83 to about 86, everybody's kind of still healthy.
Right.
It was everybody was drawing. I mean, they had Starrcade, they had WrestleMania, AWA had Super Clash, Fritz ran the Parade of Champions in 84. That's as big as it got. Mid-South was drawing at... they did the Superdome, but Superdome was kind of losing its luster at this time. This is getting into the oil crisis down there. But that was like, I don't know, super healthy time for wrestling anyway. I don't know. I mean, if you guys haven't watched those shows, they're all really good. I mean, really good. I mean, you've got... like Junkyard Dog appeared at Parade of Champions, and they
kinda, Parade of Champions was legit.
Yeah, they cross promoted everything. Yeah. Joe Frazier refereed the match between Rhodes and Flair.
Are all these things freely available out there? Or is this all network stuff?
This is networks. Like Parade of Champions isn't on there.
So I'd like to make my own collection of this stuff just to have. But
I think maybe highlights are on there. But you can find anything on YouTube,
right? That's
think,
a good thought.
I think that's the best thing that's come out of all this is that shit's on there now. Like, you can find anybody.
Pretty damn well.
But this leads to, I mean, guys basically start exiting territories around after WrestleMania because that was a success. Now, do you guys think he really gambled everything on WrestleMania, Vince McMahon?
Do I think had WrestleMania flopped, he would have been done?
No.
I mean, that's the gamble there, right?
Yeah.
Doubt it.
So what's the flop? People don't go to arenas to watch it?
I think
or go to movie theaters to watch it?
I think it's a sexy story to tell after it's successful.
They've rewritten history in every other way.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't believe that.
To really make an opinion on this, I'd need to know what they made and how, you know, like percentage-wise, like how much they thought they were going to make, what their budgets were, because – they probably had so much of the gate money they wanted to make from the gate, so much they wanted to have from live attendance in other places, like watching the CC. It wasn't the first pay-per-view, or was it just CC, CCTV?
Closed circuit. Sorry.
You think closed captions, right?
Yeah. No, closed circuit is like what Vern did, what Crockett did.
So WrestleMania was the first pay-per-view, or one of the first pay-per-views?
I always want to say WrestleMania 3 is really the first pay-per-view.
I don't see how he could, with what he had, I don't see how that really could have failed.
I mean, I guess it fails if you don't get, because, see, this goes into the Richard Belzer thing, too. Fuck. And I don't want to forget, he also bought up Stampede.
Right.
And put Stu Hart out of business and got, he got his three main, well, really four guys. I mean, Neidhart wasn't considered a get. But he got Davey Boy Smith, Bret Hart, British Bulldog. So now he's got the tag teams locked up because he was working Bret Hart as a single, and Bret Hart wants to go with Neidhart, so they create a tag team. Not to mention, he gets Savage in 85, late 85, early 86. And then they get Saturday Night's Main Event, who Greg Gagne says he was in negotiations with CBS, Phil Donahue, going back to the Phil Donahue show that we covered last time. Nobody knows the truth to it, but he says they wanted a Saturday Night show that they could have put on CBS. So It makes you wonder if Vince fucked all these guys along the way.
Well, Vince was
with
tight
other
with
stuff.
Ebersole, correct? I mean, that's what we found from the XFL.
That's how they got
the tight relationship that they've had with NBC and through the Dick Ebersole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh God! Did you see that 30 for 30?
It was good.
Ooh.
Can't believe that league only lasted a year. You know what though? Like some of the shit they did was revolutionary. I mean, like there's camera angles that they use now. There was some stuff that came from that there was a little bit of genius behind. A lot of stupid shit, a little bit of genius.
Can't argue that.
Sort of like the Attitude Era.
Right. So the same thing. But they get Saturday Night's main event going. So now you're on TV the weeks that Saturday Night Live is off. And Saturday Night Live was struggling. That's basically why they did it. But now
that was
you've
the dark
got
years.
Oh my God.
The John Lovitz years. Don't get me wrong, I love Lovitz. But.
Oh, I love Lovitz. 86 to 93. Now then we're talking.
Yeah.
Or 86 to 92, somewhere in there. So you've got Saturday Night's main event now. You're getting guys like Savage. Memphis is losing people left and right.
Is it money? Is it what's causing the exodus of talent?
I'd say Vince is snagging them and sending people to look. I mean, they start the Rock and Wrestling Connection. That's why he got Jimmy Hart out of Memphis.
Were they doing like trade swaps? Were they doing like talent? You know, like doing that. Like I'll give you a
no.
So he's just straight fucking taking what he wants.
Yeah, there's no swapping, and that's why he says they were coming to him instead of him, which is not true. It's not true at all. You know, one people that he didn't get? I'm surprised he didn't get the Road Warriors at that time.
How so?
I mean, because they were the biggest draw in wrestling next to Hogan at the time. They were main eventing shows.
What year did they first show up in WWF?
Who, the Road Warriors?
Yeah.
90.
Wow, that long. That's amazing.
It had been around 7 years by the time they got to WWF. So
they had finished right before then at WCW, right?
Right. Original,
not NWA, original, but WCW.
Original talks were in 86, 87 to get the Road Warriors. Somewhere in there.
Hmm.
I think after the scaffold match is the way, in Animal's book, is the way he put it.
You think so?
I just watched that scaffold match the other day, by the way. Bobby Eaton looked like a pussy. Yeah, just saying.
That's on purpose.
You think some of them didn't want to, like, the amount of travel? That's why they didn't go. I mean, like, just
why they say Austin Idol didn't go anywhere.
You know, you do your territory, you're close to home, you know that area.
Mm-hmm.
These guys probably have chicks in every town. They're hot shit there. It's kind of like big fish, small pond syndrome.
Sure.
Why go to the unknown where there's all these other stars at and you have to be worried? I mean,
well, they still know Vince was putting out 300 shows a year,
and
200 shows a year anyway.
Look what Vince did to anyone that came from WCW. He buried them pretty much. I mean, like.
Not back then.
No, but I'm saying, like, look what he did.
Oh, eventually.
I mean, like.
But this is still the mid-80s.
Yeah,
there's still
true.
A shit ton of money to be made. It's not like these other territories stopped running shows once this started. These guys were still running seven nights a week. I mean. There was just more money.
Right. Well, the consumers were there and ready to still eat it up.
Well, do you stay in the place where you're on Channel 8 at home every week and then go work in front of 5,000 as opposed to going up and running? That, have you guys ever looked at a schedule from the mid-80s in WWF?
No. Mm. No.
They'd be in like
they didn't make that available
St. Louis
that
and the next night be in like San Jose.
Jesus, how the fuck do you pull that off?
Yeah,
how do you even get the trucks to do that?
They would get stacks of plane tickets, and you'd go, okay, here's where I'm going. And then at the end of the tour, if you didn't use them, if you drove somewhere, you'd go cash them in. I don't know how it worked back then.
Fair enough.
Oh, so that's why they, like Cornette's talked about guys doing the scam with the tickets.
Yeah.
The flight tickets, yeah.
You would get a stack of these things, flying whatever
like vouchers or whatever.
Yeah, I can't believe that ever happened.
Yeah, that's I remember Cornette saying that.
You'd have $3,000 in plane tickets sitting there. You go cash them
or
in.
More. Yeah,
yeah. So that was a payday. It's kind of like these guys that get in trouble now. The universities they get in trouble, like kids get in trouble for selling their tickets and stuff like that, so they can have some money. It's the same thing.
Well, it's since the beginning of time, anyone will sell anything that's worth anything. I mean, that's just the way it works. If you get something for free, it's all profit. Or even if you get it for cheap, it's most profit. Why not?
Yeah.
That's why the drug trade is awesome. Because you can buy shit cheap and people will beat down your door to sell it. Or to buy it from you.
To buy it. There you go.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, which you guys will understand because it happened again in the 90s. So he would also steal talent just to take them. Like, I mean, I know I've seen Buzz Sawyer was on their TV. I don't remember Buzz Sawyer ever being in the WWF, but he got there in the big crunch. He ended up on their TV. I mean, like, just guys that he would get and do nothing with just to have a great roster.
Sure.
Or just get them.
Or take them from another place so they don't have the roster.
Well, get them so they wouldn't take them back.
To diminish the other and then take away the talent if they have a good gimmick. Bury it, pretty much.
Do you guys see a problem with that?
As a businessman, no. As a fan, it's a bummer. If I was in business and wrestling was my business, I would do exactly what McMahon did. Or hoped I could have came up with what he came up with to do.
He was trying to get them to be at the point of no return where they had to sell to him.
Yep. Yeah, it was genius.
He played for keeps, it sounds like. I mean, just... but again, like... It's pretty fucking amazing the vision the guy had and to be able to pull it off the way he did when everybody was thinking.
You got to wonder how far his vision was ahead. I get what you're saying. Like, when he first bought the rights to that stadium in Connecticut and started running shows, like, I wonder how far ahead he was thinking at that point in time. Further than just promoting his own stuff rather than just being the guy who works for his dad. At that point, I got to figure he's starting to think this could be big and I could be the guy to take it there.
I think that's his original thought.
I mean, from his failed productions with Evil Knievel and the other stuff we talked about, he had to be looking for something, and this is probably his idea.
And what sucks is we're never going to get the real story because of this fucking movie they're making.
Revisionist history.
Is going to be such bullshit. Yeah. But how much of a chip on that shoulder is to prove Daddy wrong? Like, the
whole bag.
To be bigger than Daddy. And... do you think he would have ever, I mean, his dad had to have had some relationships with some people involved. Like, who was Vince Sr.'s closest guy from another territory? Is that documented?
I would say it's Vern.
And Vince had no problem just fucking him over.
I almost want to say he was the first one that he went after heavily.
So what was the relationship like between son and father while he's doing this?
Oh, I imagine he probably warned Vern. But that was
there's a lot
at
more
least
honor
he tried
back
to give
then.
Him money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, not all these guys did he try to help out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another argument.
True to
be made at least. I'm looking up Super Clash 85 just to see who ended up working for the WWF. Everyone.
Everyone. Every single person on the show.
At some point in time, they either worked for them, and then they saw what he was doing, making it a cartoon, and were like, fuck him. Or by a certain time, they couldn't get back in because they were damaged goods.
Right.
And then the other guys all ended up going there. Scott Hall, Kurt Hennig.
AWA, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, Harley Race, that had to hurt. That had to hurt him. I didn't ask him, but
can we call him?
No. But he went to WWF the year after this. Bill Irwin ended up being the goon.
The goon, yeah.
That's, yeah.
Kerry Von Erich. I'm also surprised he never got Nikita Koloff, and I'm surprised they don't talk about Nikita Koloff on TV. Or on WWE Network, anything like that. They never mention them. Kamala, of course.
I think they got a big list somewhere in the studios that says, don't ever talk about these guys.
Yeah, there are guys. I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, Benoit, for instance, but...
No, there's other guys he doesn't like.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, just for instance, but... Speaking of Benoit, if I can cut in there, I watched a video that had some pictures from his funeral. It had some good pictures of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind that's Benoit's kid. From looking at him, he looks just like Benoit. The whole Vince McMahon thing is just fun. I mean, fun if you like coming up with murders. but.
Geez, you almost had me forgetting about Billy Jack Haynes. That reminds me. So yeah. Don Owens is in Portland. That's another guy we didn't mention. I wanted to just at least say it. That he had a good promotion. Like, Roddy Piper wouldn't run with Vince in Portland because he didn't want to run against Don Owens, because Don Owens basically got him going.
Any relation to you? Don Owens? No. Just checking.
Not related.
I think it's Don Owen. Whatever.
Either way.
Rick Martel is the champion at that. He was in WWF, what, 2 years later? 1 year later? 6 months later?
With a bug sprayer full of perfume.
Oh, well, it's just stupid. Same thing with Starrcade 85. Yeah. Let's see how long it took that group to get out of there. Because I know Billy Jack Haynes is on that card, speaking of guys that we had. But Rhodes, Flair, obviously. Polka Dots.
Polka Dots.
I mean, he just gooned all of them, didn't he?
A lot of them. Ronnie Garvin. Superstar Billy Graham worked that show, but he still went back. He could still get back in. Who else? Tully went with Arn. Terry Taylor. What'd he become?
The Red Rooster.
It's fucked up. J.J. Dillon went to work in the office in 89.
Didn't they have just like a bag of gimmicks, though, they say, and they just pretty much pull one out, and this was like what your thing is?
Well, they did it the same way Family Guy comes up with their shows. They have a giant like tank full of manatees, and there's a bunch of balls with random gimmicks written on it. And what happens is they'll go over there. Well, it's got gimmicks and names. So whenever somebody gets hired, they throw the name in, they push the name over, then the manatee goes back and grabs another ball with a gimmick. So it's all done by manatee.
Really?
No. No. Just kidding.
Hmm.
It was a South Park episode. Oh. I'll show myself out.
Yeah. I don't know South Park.
How do you not watch South Park? It's one of the most stingingly poignant shows out there right now.
I've heard that.
It's good stuff.
You would, well,
these like, days, it's the way more than the old stuff.
You would love it.
They didn't used to be so political, but...
I have trouble with animation.
It's barely. And you love Bill Hader, right? He's one of the main writers on that show. And voices.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
What? There's a thing on YouTube you can watch how they do a show. They do a whole show of South Park in 1 week's time, from writing the story to animating it and put it out every week. Huh. And Hader's one of the guys. He sits in their writing room with them, comes up with all the fucked up shit they do.
Did not know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really quickly wanted to go through Parade of Champions. Kerry Von Erich, Ric Flair, Junkyard Dog.
Von Erich go over that night or not?
Yeah, that's where he beat Flair.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I guess that one's not as littered with people that got pulled. I know the second one was Rick Rude. God, One Man Gang. This is 85.
The Dream.
So he went Muslim, right?
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, at least these guys ended up there. But it's all leading to, and like Saturday night's main event. Oh, did you guys grow up watching that or no?
When it would come on, it seemed like it was never on. Like, you get lucky if it was on once a quarter. And I didn't, at the time when I was a kid, I couldn't put together the schedule they would have for that.
I know.
But it just seemed like it was never on. But when it was like the greatest thing ever. Free wrestling on Saturday night!
I know. But they got more monthly when the summer came around, it seemed.
Is that
the
way it was?
Well, that's when TV shows are off.
Right. I just don't recall.
At least in the summer.
But yeah, dude, I totally remember it being huge when I was a kid, at least for me.
I remember they'd have one to promote WrestleMania.
Right.
One.
They were always on NBC, right?
A month or so after, right?
Right.
And then in the end, it was on Fox. Mm-hmm. And I stopped watching.
Yeah.
But it's all leading into going to WrestleMania 3, which is where they killed everybody. So what's your takeaways so far?
I'd have done the same thing Vince did. If I was smart enough, I'd hoped I'd been smart enough in his position to do what he did. Shitty business tactics, sure. Business tactics, yes.
Ethics, none.
I mean, what would he goddamn do? He's not going by the rules that these guys made. It's business. I don't have to follow your old rules just because you say they're the rules of the business.
By the time you roll to WrestleMania 3, there's one guy left. I shouldn't say that. AWA is still going, but it's dreadful.
Right.
But was it that environment to, you know, kill or be killed? It wasn't hostile until Vince made it hostile, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from reading, I mean, like, there was competition rivalries there, but yeah, but like, they all would have coexisted still if Vince wouldn't have started doing that. So you look at it and say by 83 there was only one left, it's because he was out killing motherfuckers. If he wasn't, I think everybody still would have been playing and kind of business as usual, but there wouldn't have been a WrestleMania. There wouldn't have been – I mean, to have the WrestleMania and to continue WrestleMania, you would have had to have had the best talent. You would have had to done what he did. So I think to move that path business-wise, slaughter, take, rape, pillage, you know.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes.
Well,
get him. Literally. I still think Fritz should have went national.
Boys, I hate to do this, but I've got to pee so bad. I'm sitting here dancing. How much more we got? Can I make it?
We're done. We're going into WrestleMania 3 in the war between Vince and Jim Crockett after when we come back next week. So we'll talk to you next week. We got more to go. We're going to get all the way to the Nitro era. Might as well.
Might as well?
Yeah, because that's when it gets fun.
Because that's when Vince kind of gets
what I call back. Black Monday. Nobody else does, but I do.
Gets his dick beat in. Okay, so for T.O. Big Easy, we're out of here. Next time, part three, we're going to go to WrestleMania 3 and watch him beat up Jim Crockett. So we'll talk to
you. See you all next week.
Talk to you then.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.